First Corinthians chapter 8. Gonna look topic chose today is called No Stumbling Zone. First Corinthians chapter 8.
No stumbling zone.
No stumbling zone. You know, you see those places where you go to a airport, there's a no smoking zone or a no whatever zone. Thought it'd be nice to think about wherever we go and that we would have a sign around us saying that we're in no stumbling zone. First Corinthians chapter 8 is a good place to start. Verse 1. Now as touching idols, things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us, as we were talking about before fellowship, there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat, are we the better, neither if we eat not, are we the worse. But take heed, this is where I wanted to get to, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. This is specifically talking about idolatry and offering things made to idols, but the truth of whatever you do, your actions that you do, we're to endeavor to make sure the actions that we do don't cause other people, specifically in the body of Christ, to stumble, to fall, or to, you know, or to lose their believing. Verse 10, for if any man see thee, which has knowledge, you know, you, in other words, you know the truth, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. In other words, you know you can do that because you're free to do it. But the other person may not understand that truth. So God's exhortation to be careful that the actions that you take in your life don't cause other believers to stumble, even though those actions are perfectly allowable as far as God is concerned. Verse 11, and through thy knowledge, verse 12, but when you sin so against the brethren and wound their conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat makes my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. It's interesting. It's funny, this topic is talked about a great deal in the New Testament. He says, you know you have knowledge and you can go to that temple because it's not about what we eat or drink. He says, you know that. But there may be some people who don't know that. And he says, as long as I know that they have a problem with that, I'm not going to do anything to cause them to offend, even though I know it's okay with God. So a very interesting look at the importance of your walk. And we saw a lot of this in Thessalonians. You know, Thessalonians was a lot about the hope, but chapter after chapter about how to live your life. The hope is coming, but how to live your life day by day. Right, this is another one of those areas. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, just back a bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Says, all things are lawful unto me. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient or profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You can do whatever you want, but just because you can doesn't mean that you should. And that's the important part. You know, just because God said, look, Paul's like, everything, I can do what I want. There's no law. No longer under the law. But he says, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Like, in, there's another section in 1 Corinthians 10 that's going to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That verse is, you know, seems like, well, that's fine, they can sit down, but if you look at the context of what they were doing, eating and drinking, naked, you know, fornication, all kinds of stuff going on. That's what it's talking about. That's what idolatry will eventually lead people to, and that's what it led them to. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of... Sorry, verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. There you go. And fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. This is all written for our examples, right? Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Be careful in your stand. You know, sometimes we can think, oh, no problem, no, nothing's gonna ever get to me. You know, God, you be careful. You know, these things are written. You wouldn't have thought that those guys would have fallen either, would you? They saw the Red Sea parted. Manna every day, pillar of cloud by day, and fire by night. They saw all that, and yet thousands died and fell. So God says, you just be careful. There hath no temptation, you, verse 13, such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Do whatever you can to avoid that evil practice. I speak as to wise men, judge what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. That's the problem with altars, so with idolatry. They sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Logical. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table at the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me. There it is again. He says, could you do all that stuff? Absolutely. You can do whatever you want. I think we all know that. Aren't you able to do whatever you want? Yeah, of course. You can do whatever you want. Paul says, all things are lawful. I can do whatever I want. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And here's what, let no man seek his own, but every man another as well. He goes, in the body of Christ, and that's the point of all this, we have to get beyond the point where we're only concerned about ourselves. You know, he's like, I can do whatever I want, but Paul says, but instead of thinking that way, and a lot of time people say, well, it's grace, I can do whatever I want. I live in the age of grace.
It's true.
Isn't that true? He just said, I can do what I want. But Paul says, in your actions, be more concerned about others than yourself, even though you know you can do what you want. Because then, you know, are you a no stumbling zone? Are you doing things that may cause others to stumble? By your actions, by your words, by associations. Verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles are where they used to buy the meat to serve, to sacrifice to idols. That eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and you can eat whatever you want because God owns it all. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, don't ask any questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it. And for conscience sake, and for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, conscience I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? He says, I know, I'm not concerned about your conscience, because you know God owns everything, and you can darn well eat whatever you want. But he goes, I'm not concerned about your conscience, I'm concerned about the other guy who's watching you eat. Not you, but the other man's conscience. If it's going to cause him to fall or her to fall, don't do it. Don't do anything that will cause believers in the butt to stumble and fall. That's what Paul was concerned about. Verse 30. For if I by grace be a partaker, in other words, I could do this. By grace, I could do this. No problem. Why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? I give thanks to God. God owns everything. I can eat it. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. You could have said, well, they're just Gentiles. What the heck does it matter? Not, he's talking about everybody now. Not even just believers. You could say, well, they're unbelievers. What the heck? No. You live your life so that you don't offend anybody. Even if you know you can do some things, don't cause people to stumble. It may impact a Gentile unbeliever from coming to Jesus Christ someday by our actions. It certainly could. So then he says in verse 33, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That's the whole point. That's why you live your life. That's why you pay your taxes. That's why you don't cheat in your taxes. That's why you honor the king. That's why we do the things we do in our lives. Why? Because we think the king is so wonderful? Or the queen? No, because the whole point of your and my life is that others may be saved. And we read about Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 talking about all the things he does to make sure, 2 Corinthians 9, to ensure that he does that. That's why we live the way we do. Look at Romans chapter 14. Because we could be, you know, we could say, well, I just, you know, I know so much the Bible, you know, I can do whatever I want. I mean, I'm real hotshot. You know, look at this. I can smoke, I can drink, I can do. Yeah, you can. It doesn't mean that it's profitable or edifying or the right time to do it is then and there. My main concern ought to be, how does it impact them in ever hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or those who are in the body of Christ, could it possibly cause them to stumble? Maybe I've lived my life and I've gone through a few things and learned things about living life and serving God or how to apply God's word in situations, and a new person comes, they don't know all that stuff. They don't know it yet. You know, I can't judge their life based on what I understand. You can't judge anyone based on what you understand. The whole point is that they get born again, saved, and if they're in the body of Christ, that they don't stumble. That we help one another to stand until the return of Jesus Christ. Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, and this is people who are in the body, receive ye, but not the doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another day. Well, I know this is the day I like in the week. Another esteemeth every day to be the same, alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doesn't regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord eateth not and giveth God thanks. Does it matter? Does it matter? Well, we'll see. 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So, you know, I don't have to go around judging everybody all the time. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Are we a no stumbling zone as we walk about? I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, so something you're doing, eating or whatever, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. There's no point to be made by doing that, is there? Well, I have freedom. I can do this. Yeah, you can. But you shouldn't if it's causing somebody else to stumble. You just shouldn't. Because the whole point is people that they stand. Him that is weak in the faith, you receive. You help them. You help them to stand. Maybe they don't understand everything you understand. You know, certainly somebody comes into this fellowship and you've been here for many, many years. There's no way. If they've never been in the Word of God, they're not going to understand all things you understand. So I can't expect them on that first day to be understanding everything you understand. How come you don't do this? How come you don't do this? Well, you know, the whole point is that they stand. Verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if some guy says, you know, Saturday is the Sabbath for me. I am going to spend my day on Saturday. It's going to be a special day. I'm going to make it unto the Lord, and I'm going to really honor God. And I come along and say, well, you don't have to believe in the Sabbath because the Sabbath is there any benefit in me saying that? No. Let him say it. So what? He decided Saturday is a wonderful day. Good for you. Honor God. That's wonderful. I think you're the best. Someone might say, well, you know, you shouldn't be eating that kind of stuff because in the Old Testament, the Bible says you shouldn't be eating swine and all this. Now, someone comes, you know, I could say, well, I'm allowed to eat whatever I want because God owns everything. Or I could say, that's wonderful that you're not eating that. God bless you. And I'm not going to eat bacon when you're around until you understand the truth of God's word. What's the point? Why would I cause a person to stumble? And I'm just talking using examples, but it could be anything in life, right? Any actions that we do that cause people to stumble. I don't want to be a stumbling zone for others. I want to help people to stand for Christ. I want to help them to grow up into him. Where are we now?
17.
Thank you. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother is offended, or stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he doubteth eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is of faith is sin. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Pretty clear, isn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's interesting how God takes even the day-by-day things we do in life and explains how, you know, even those things you regularly are do by the grace of God and the things that you're involved in, the activities, you ought to be mindful. Are they helping my brothers and sisters or people that see me to come to the truth or to stand in the truth? Are they helping? Or do I get involved in the same things everybody else gets involved in when I'm with other people? You know? Or is my life an example to help them to come to Jesus Christ? You know, and that may mean not having beer around people who don't think beer is, or having whatever. Doesn't the point is not meat and drink, right? Kingdom of God, not meat and drink. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Anybody, we can help people to get there and stand. You know, as people grow, they learn these things. But some may decide they want to keep the Sabbath for the next 100 years of their life. Wonderful. Is there anything wrong with that? A guy sets aside a day they want to honor God and serve Him. I think that's great. You know, you don't have to do it. You're right. 2 Corinthians 11:28. Besides those things that are without, this is Paul writing, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? So he said that anything that happened to believers had an impact on him, has an impact on the body of Christ. So we ought to be really, really concerned about how others in the body of Christ are doing. In 1 Corinthians 12, a couple more verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm in Romans. Doesn't matter. Do. Verse 24. And the reason being for our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. We'll close in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, so this is talking about a person having problems in the body of Christ, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And here he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Well, okay. Here it says in verse 2, bear ye one of his burdens. And in verse 5, it says every man shall bear his own burden. Well, they're different words. If you look at the word in verse 2, the word in verse 2 is the Greek word baros, which means a weight that which may be relieved or transferred. And verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden, is a word fortion, which is a specific load that has to be borne. So, you know, he says, look, if someone's weak in the body of Christ, right, you who are strong, you ought to help that person because you can help them bear their burdens. Then there are other burdens that people have that they have to bear themselves. You can't help them with those. But the ones you can help them with, those we ought to help them with, because remember, the whole point is that we help one another to stand and cause no one in the body of Christ, or even those who we see, to stumble because of our actions and our lives, right? And then verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, and remember, Hebrews also says God is not unrighteous to forget the things that we do to help one another stand. So, you know, the very truth that we have the grace to do whatever we want, because Paul said, all things are profitable, everything is allowable, doesn't mean that we should, because it may cause others to stumble. We ought to be mindful of the body of Christ, the people that we're around, the people that are around us, and the people that we minister to, the people we work with, mindful that the whole point is that that many be saved, many come to the truth. And anything that causes people to stumble and not get to it, we ought to just not do. We ought to, you know, until they learn more about the grace of God. So, you know, only I know, you know, in certain days, I was definitely a stumbling zone for people. I'm sure, I know that. But, you know, the goal is that we're not stumbling zone, but we're people who help others to stand. And then, you know, as far as interacting with the rest of society, the things that we do, we live exemplary lives. So people may have no, what it says there, no one may have any ill word to say about you. Right? No one. So many, and the whole point, that many, many can be saved. So.